Monday night, 9 o'clock on the East Coast, heading into Turkey Week, Turkey Day in a couple. It's like cold turkey here. It's gonna be down to 16 degrees. So buckle up, warm up, grab yourself a drink, and let's talk racing. This is the Cool Down Lap. This is the official podcast of Midwest Motorsports. I'm Greg Dreis, your host, and the Cool Down Lap, as always, features the voice of Midwest Motorsports, James Johnson, with the weekly road racing roundup. But first, we're going to do our first segment, as we do every week, the Cool Down Lap driver spot. And familiar face, familiar voice, familiar name. Tonight's the winner of the Truck Series weekend at Miami, Dustin Reinstedl. Dustin, how you doing? Welcome.
I'm pretty good. Good to be back.
So, how would you say your last night? Because I was in the naughty list and in the kind of the equivalent of facing jail because of my incident. So I kind of around the back last night and didn't see too much except when you passed me a few times. So where did you qualify? And based on where you qualified, was that all in line with your race strategy?
I think I qualified in second, I believe. Not exactly the best qualifying lap. It was kind of the track was very tight whenever we were qualifying.
Yep.
A little different than what I had previously practiced on in an open session. So pushed it a little bit too much. I actually spun out coming to the second lap. And reset. So I only had one shot at it, so I kind of just took it a little slow and took it a little too slow, and I think I missed it like a hundredth or 200th of a second. So it was a lot closer than I thought it would be, but it hurt even worse than I spun because it wasn't really easy to take the pole.
Noticing during practice last night, pre-race, some pretty close to breaking the 30-second mark. But I think everybody in qualifying last night was 30.3, or a couple tenths slower. Was that because this track took longer for the tires to come in?
Yeah, it. We were actually talking about before the race. It seems like it's a lap there in the cup cars.
Yep.
I don't think I ever got my time down to what I was in the other practice session.
Yeah.
Because I know in that one we were breaking the 30. It was like a 29.8 or something.
Yep.
Or the 0.8 or whatever second was before what we were usually running.
Yeah.
So it was a lot faster by, you know, 3, 4, 5 tenths. I think the race paced fast. It was definitely tighter than what we were all practicing on leading up to. And that qualifying for sure. But as far as race strategy, I mean, qualifying, it helps more the way we do stages. Come in and get in and out of your pit box faster than people, because if you get that first box, you know, just having that shorter distance to go to the cone is a lot more beneficial.
But you got to pay for it when you're coming down pit road, because you've got a longer drive. So how does that first or second pit stall get you exiting and getting out of your pit faster, being that it took like a Sunday drive to get to the pit in the first place?
The biggest thing that usually helps that first stall, depending on what track, some of the tracks, I mean, you have like a car length and you're out of the pit. Others are a little different, but really, if you not spin your tires and have a clean entry into your box, you can usually beat somebody out if they take the same pit strategy as you on that stop.
Right. As you know, you can drive through all the cars if you're in pit stall 10. You don't have to pull out. But I think everybody does that anyway. So you do have more of a line. It's not like you got to pull out and get around a car that's already on the track. So does that play an aspect of it there?
I just wanted to just kind of point it straight and the tires coming out of the box. So it's I usually go ahead. Last night from the second box, the time that I was in the pits, I was looking in the tires to see,
right,
you know, how quick I did it out, or if I could kind of ease on the throttle. It helped a couple of times. There's a few truck wise helped me get out first box in the truck race.
Got it. So when you're practicing for an upcoming race, when you feel comfortable on the track, do you spend any time practicing pit entry and pit exit as well as the stops?
Whenever I first started getting into sim racing, I practiced a lot. And I'm sure I said that on your report. I don't practice near as much. I probably get in the car maybe 5 minutes before the session opens.
Ah, okay.
But usually what I try to do is I kind of try to get my, if I'm getting my qualifying laps or whatever I'm trying to work on in my own session, or, you know, we have the happy hour practices, or Samia posts his that he's been doing recently. So something like that. Maybe a couple people might see my hot lap hand, but I'm not really going to worry about it when I get in the session. I just want to try to do a 10, 15 lap run, get used to the track state that we have, and I'll just my pit entry qualifying. I'll go run my two laps, and then I kind of like to be on track and just watch the results pop up.
Got it, yep.
So I'll just keep running, you know, another lap or so, and then there. But once you get, you know, two years under your belt in sim racing, you see the same every you know, couple seasons. You see them all year. So it kind of never too much changes car to car on how you come in, but it's not too big of a difference,
especially with setups. I found entrance last night to be a little tricky compared to other tracks. What's your take on that?
Yeah, where you come off the banking, it goes from banking to a flat surface really quick.
Yeah.
I tried to throttle down and drop a gear into third to help me give a little more stock power. But you can kind of fly it on there. But as we've seen old Kyle Larson be able to do, you know, you can come hot, and it really does kind of move you to the right as you're slowing down. I guess the pits are angled.
Yeah,
from how you come off the track. But there was actually a time last time under green flags, the Cup Series, that I thought I was going to put it into the barrels a little bit. I didn't do that one. I lived that one down.
I did that during practice a couple times yesterday because I noticed the pit approach. As you're coming out of turn four and as you're driving by it, you can see it's more of an arc. It's more of a, like an elbow turn or something like that. So a couple of times, like you said, I did wipe out the cars. So your time practicing on the pit entrance class yesterday before the race, and also did my little trick on my track map screen. I put a little piece of tape where to mark on the track, on my track map, where I got to be to the point to start dropping down. So, and I do that because half the time I get so involved in a race watching the car in front of me where I'm going, I don't know if I'm in turn two or turn four sometimes. I'm kind of like that, you know, driver's hypnosis, you know, going on the interstate.
Right.
So how did your fuel strategy play with the stage brakes last night?
Here recently, the early stop everything, which sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. I've kind of felt with the most tire update for the Cup cars, Cup and truck, but it's almost kind of better to split it close even as you can. Now, obviously, if you're in first, second, or third, if the guy in front of you goes, you really have to think about it. You don't want to let them get ahead, especially if you're not taking tires.
That's true.
Because it's probably just going to be a disadvantage. So I kind of weigh that. I know there's a couple times last night that like Eric or somebody else would really hit on a stage, and the last thing you want to do is get jumped, knowing that you're already getting slower on your pace and you're not going to have fresh tires to go on. So definitely play a factor with that too.
Yeah, I think it was Eric last night who pitted real early in stage one. as I recall, because I remember, because Simeon, he's a teammate of mine, and he was pretty close to being up front night, and I think it was Eric who pitted really early, and we were like, wow, what's going on there? And I would like to pit early, but I've never seen him pit that early before. How long did you go? How many laps before you switched tires?
I ran the whole first and second stage on one set. just trying to keep that extra set in case I needed it, which I ended up using it on that last green flag run.
There you go.
It's kind of debatable on whether you really needed it, because it was a 40-lap run to the end.
Yep.
With a stop in the middle. So that kind of helped influence my strategy on that last stage, though, is just splitting it, and then I ended up taking right sides only, which is kind of, I'm not going to say most of my wins in the Cup Series especially have come off of right side tires. Something that is not right the way the Cup cars work on the tires. They should probably fix that, but they do two tires on the right, unless something crazy is going on for me if I got a 20-lap run.
That's unusual to take right sides, because I remember before the Gen 7 came out, I mistakenly at last pit stop took two right sides, and it totally screwed my race up. Last night on his last pit stop, two left sides, and he felt that hurt him instead of taking four. So wondering whatever he's doing, trying to figure out on their pit stop if they did all four. So you just took two right sides, and it helped. So there, I went 60 laps last night before I took mine, and then took the second set with about 20. And they started getting a little soft and mushy last night. What I had another question? What are your words this weekend at Michigan?
Honestly, I think I stole whatever Huffman was doing. So I usually like to watch Huffman and see if he's got any pleas or shifting or not shifting certain tracks. Michigan is one of those deals where you're going to be really tight as long as the pack kind of stays close together.
Yep.
And once you get through some pit stops, some cycles, it's going to spread out a little bit, and then that's when the lines that you run and how you get off your exit's going to matter the most.
Sure.
So really just making sure I'm there at the end to get a finish. I've kind of managed to come my way back up pretty good for the regular season after not being able to be here for the first race. That was really the goal.
Cool.
Is just being consistent for the season.
Got it. Last night we got closer to, I don't know, pick a number 30, some of the last to go. The P1 car at that held on to the lead for quite a while, and you me over catch towards the end, and it was kind of looking like it was a 50-50 shot whether you or Semia was going to be able to catch him. Did you feel better the first yellow night, or did you say that you might be back in your track to catch him?
I mean, when the first year was,
it was like 105, I think. It was shortly after stage 3 began, right around the 100 lap mark, and that's when
okay, yeah, we had to still one stop it from there.
Yeah,
that's actually where the I believe that at least I know I caught him with about 10 to go,
right
somewhere in there.
Yep.
I don't think he tired of me and had the right or two left one right.
Yes.
we had the two tires advantage on him.
Right. Okay.
So I learned a lot from watching him and Huffman run, and I realized that, you know, I was faster on the top, but to try to preserve some tire end and then run the top, I wanted to keep running the bottom, and I kept catching him, which you know, to see how much I was catching him, how quickly towards the end. I realized he either didn't Rosary already used them up. And then Mike was right behind me. I knew I had to keep. So my plan was to get around the 47 and then go up top.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of just kept that same gap, me and Mike did, until, you know, there were two to go, and then we had the caution, which I was thinking about very quickly, because I kept talking about how nothing ever came easy in the league, as far as it always seems exactly. Like something happens at the end.
Yeah.
And then, lo and behold, you know, Mike runs out of gas halfway through the last lap, and then big wreck behind me is kind of probably the easiest last half of a lap out of a green-white checkered I think I've ever had.
Yeah, it was Infinity 6 or 7, and it was fun. He's like, I'm out of gas. He couldn't figure it out, and I think he's still wondering how he ran out of gas, because on his last stop, he said he did fill up splash. Anything before we get on to the next segment? Any people you want to thank, sponsors, who's cooking your turkey for you this Thursday or anything like that?
Thank all these guys, you guys, for doing the podcast too. All the admin and broadcasting, everybody that makes everything work. I guess I can thank JT. got a lot of upgrades going on my end to help me out with. It's been like learning in school. If you call it that, but on the way, got a new PC on the way.
Oh, cool.
Hopefully have everything set up at this next couple of following week, should have everything going. Got a buddy from here in town that's getting into iRacing, so kind of pawn some of my stuff off on him if he'll take it.
Oh, there you go.
And get him going with some entry level stuff that he'll be able to take off with. Hopefully get him in the league too. Get him in the truck series.
Awesome.
But, it just getting my wife out of how much I spent on everything.
Oh.
No worse yet, so that's a positive.
So you definitely got to thank her.
However you want to view that.
Yeah. So that, I was kind of waiting. You're going to wait a week or two. And her room will actually kick her off of her account, because she was doing Christmas shopping. So of course, you know, husband was on Prime, why not get on there? So I figured I'd go ahead and break the news.
Oh, did the Project Christmas box or whatever you talked about for the kids, you had all that done today?
Oh yeah. So at the University of Pikeville, I do student affairs on the housing side, and then also am the head of golf. And this year I stepped in some pretty big shoes. We had our since basketball coaches always ran our student athlete advisory committee, which is our top, you know, student leaders. It's basically every team captain from every team on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And filled her role in that, took over, which has been a pretty big change. Kind of like student government for athletes in a way, if you think of it that way.
Okay.
But community service, how to do leadership and build your character, your time in college and turn that to your teams, but also taking care of, you know, your team's needs or things that you see on campus that we can improve for athletes. And that was our community service project for the fall, is
doing
those up out of box per team. What a lot more, a couple of teams brought more, a couple of teams weren't able to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, college kids, sometimes college is, you know, it's a big time of money. So anything helped. So we were at, I believe, like 24, 25, something like that. So
pretty good.
I got told when we showed up at the church, showed up about 30 minutes before the last pickup. So always right on time, you know. They told us that we had one of the larger donations of the year. So
good.
It's also unfortunate that sometimes 24 boxes is the largest donation, but it feels good to be able to do it.
Yeah, we do the shoebox thing where we fill shoeboxes at our church with stuff, and I think there was like 100, and then we find out like the mega church up the road had like 700 boxes. So, and that whole Operation Shoebox and the Christmas box, I think it's your 200 millionth box that's been sent out over the where kids in need. So it's a good one there. And the it, I can attest to that because I was way back in 1982 when I went to college. The bridge to come back was across the Hudson River was 50 cents. And I remember being in the college cafeteria, getting coffee, and it was the day before payday. And I actually had to ask for a refund on the coffee because it's my last chance to get back across the bridge. Paid. So, been there, done that. So, Dustin Reinstedtl, winner of the Series at Miami in the Midwest Motorsports Truck Series. Thanks for stopping in. And you went to races this week, so good luck this weekend, and have yourself a good turkey day.
Thank you. Yeah, my Kyle Busch suite this weekend with our red boy.
There you go.
In the Xfinity Series. But yeah, good weekend. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Take care. And now, without any further ado, this is I'd like to welcome James Johnson for his weekly Road Series update and review. James.
Hey, Greg. I'm great. Happy Turkey Day or Turkey Week to you and your family and everybody out there listening.
Gobble, gobble. Take it away.
Well, you called the truck race with me at Road America last Friday, and that's where the GT4 cars were this week. And, man, this is it's going to be a pretty exciting recap because we have the most adventures in Midwest Motorsports history. I'm not sure if you've seen the replay on Twitter.
No, I haven't because I've been busy working on some other podcasts and get shopping. So I definitely will check them out because I understand there's been some really good road races this season.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And I can tell you've been busy because also had a chance to check out the Cup race last night. I featured a Twitch clip on our Twitch stream of your new paint job. So I think it's amazing.
Yeah, I use the trading paints things because I'm not talented enough to use Photoshop because I'm a semi-professional photographer and I just can't be Photoshop out. So yeah, it came out pretty nice.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. Cool down lap all over it, and you know, your logo and everything. So we did a cast.
Cool.
And again, on the Twitch featured clip. So it'll be popping up front. So I just want to give you a shout out, man, for supporting us. And thanks again for hosting the podcast. But yeah, so the GT4s were at Road America for 60 minutes. And Christopher Hopper had to start from an incident on lap one at Road Atlanta the week before, and then on his way, so he had to come back into a drive on his first lap. So right off the bat, just a learning experience for one of our GT4. But Alex Bauer and Jason Phillips were going at it lap, and Brian Jackson and McLaren got in it and passed Max for a while. So they were chasing each other down to about the 30-minute mark. Behind them, and Michael Odell in a Porsche and Sam Hubbard, who won overall at Road Atlanta Mercedes, were going at it back and forth. Kind of trapped a couple of pros behind them while they were racing. It was pretty exciting racing the way we've got set up this season with pros and ams racing all together. And there was some really exciting racing, some side-by-side action through all of the 14-turn Road America course. After the first pit stop, Jason Phillips came in leading. Max stayed out an extra lap, and when he came to the front, Jason, so I'm not exactly sure what happened in Jason's pit, whether he missed a gear or fueled, is what he said in the Discord. And so that Max stopped, and Jason Phillips and Max Bauer. Max was following, comes down to the line. Jason's driving purple lines. I mean, you have to see the replay to do it justice. It was an incredible race. And going into Canada corner, the second to last rule passing Max, pulled in, but couldn't quite pass. Going through Thunder Valley and then up to the last corner, Max in the exit. Jason Phillips, no fault to him, ran perfect line, a little bit defensive as he has to. Behind them, but they're coming up to, you know, the Road America straight, the last straight before the start finish line. Max's start finish line is about a mile, a three-quarters of a mile up the hill. Max Power gets in his draft, gets to his bumper right beside him, side by side. 0.000 as they went across the line was the iRacing overlay that we had. And then by the time we switched to the replay, it said 0.001 with Max Bauer in front of Jason Phillips by 1/1000th. It was absolutely incredible. Best I've seen. And it was so clean. Max Bauer and forcing Jason to drive. Honest, Jason did not put a wheel wrong. No boards for the lead. Max Bauer ended up winning 0.001. It was official. Jason Phillips after leading 13 of the 26 laps. So pretty incredible. As far as the pros go, also I want to give Justin Thaler got most positions gained, so give him an extra 5 points. And Ryan Coxon was running second for a long time, finished the race with 0 incidents. So he gets an extra bonus point. So Max Bauer, Jason Phillips, Ryan Coxon, Josh Boom, and fourth, Justin Thaler. Then in the AMs, Michael O'Dell and Sam Hubbard, after having a good race, after the pit stop, David Wortman came out in front of Sam Hubbard. They were about 20 seconds apart from each other when they all finished. Michael O'Dell first, David Wortman second, Sam Hubbard third, Christopher Walton fourth. Dan Gish has made all 10 races, so shout out to Dan for that. Justin Reinstead finished with 0 incident points, too. So 0x for Dustin Reinstead. Give him 10. Fast went to Sam Hubbard. All right, so that's the race. Halfway through, 10 races. Remember, it's a little difficult to tell what's going on point-wise. Max Bauer's got about a 3-point lead over Jason Phillips. And again, both of them have participated in all 10. So they're going to get 2 drops. Right now, Max has a 7th and a 5th. He's going to drop from 150 points. He's going to drop. Jason has a 6th and a 6th for 200 instead of 250. So only a 10-point swing with the drops. Not a big deal with the 300-point difference. Power looks like he's extending his lead in the points. But behind him, Josh Shea McNeely, Steve Hansel, and Justin Thaler are tied. Steve Hansel and Justin Thaler are tied. So it's like I said, really exciting. Every reason to come out and watch tomorrow night as we go to Danville, Virginia, and the famous Virginia International Raceway, VIR. So I don't know if you've ever been to VIR there, Greg?
No, I have not raced that track. I remember coming back from Martinsville on a long 10-hour ride home. I had the Dale Jr. download on. And he, I guess, one of the owners of the track. And it sounds like it's an absolute remarkable track. I just haven't had a chance to drive on it yet.
I'm going to race SCCA, and I've got stories. I've heard stories from my mom and dad about cornfield and water and stuff like that. So, interesting. 17 turns, pretty narrow. A lot of elevation. Mm-hmm. A couple of cool seconds. Roller. There used to be an open field corner, most important turns, but it's going to be all exciting. Practice starts in midwest-motorsports.com. If you want to learn more about Midwest Motorsports and the GT4 rules, and schedule and come join us. We're always accepting new drivers in. Once again, Greg, just want to wish everybody a happy thing to you and your family, and thanks to everybody at Midwest Motorsports for doing what they do.
Very good. James Johnson with the weekly Road Series update and review on Cool Down Lap. Let's take a look at the trucks here past week and Dustin Reinstedtl. We were choking before we went on because he's number 11, so we're going to call him Denny Hamstedtl or Dustin Denny, like that. But Dustin Reinstedtl, driver of truck 11, he won a bunch of races. It's always good to have him on because I go back and listen to that part when he's on and try to improve my driving. And winner this week of at Miami Homestead, Dustin in the Cool Down Lap Truck Series. Speaking of Truck Series, we'll take a look at the points and Chris Meddings still in P1 with 210 points. My team, Six Pack Racing, in the Cup Series. Michael Semilla is in second place with 180. Justin Thaler is in 76. Brandon Thayer in P4 with 175 points. Ryan Lative with 172. Sean Hapik in P6 with 170. Eric P7 with 168. Brandon Hinton in P8 with 162. Mark Cox in P9 with 155 points. And running out the top 10 in the series is 154 points. Next race will be at Nashville Fairgrounds. And it will be on December 1st. Truck Series and Xfinity is off week, so out there and get practicing and get ready for the Nashville Fairgrounds for the Truck Series on 12-1. Moving over to the Xfinity Series, Eric Thaler of Car 15 was the winner this week at Miami Homestead. And taking a look at the Xfinity points for this week, Dustin Reinstedtl, there's that name again, popping up in first place in points for Xfinity with 217 points. Michael Semilla in P2 with 211. Jason Huff with 188 is in P3 this week. Christopher Hilton with 182 points is in fourth position. Hinton in fifth with 174 points. Garrett Reed in P6 behind with 173. John Bates 3 with 167 is in seventh position. Trez with 162 points is in P8. Ninth place is Clarence with 106. And Ken Feckstein and Andrew Miller, 28, tied for 10th position, both with 153 points. Xfinity Series in Midwest Motorsports is also off. They will be back on 12-1 at the Nashville Fairgrounds Throwback Race. Well, I guess we're not having Turkey Day in the Cup Series because we are racing this Sunday. And the winner of this race meet, there he is again, driver of car number 11, Dustin Reinstedtl. Take a look at Cup points in this week. Christopher Melton is in first place with 216 points. Justin Fowler is in P2 with 210. Eric Taylor with 202 is in third position. Dustin Ryan with 194 points is in fourth position. Peter Dillon, 182, is in P6. Brandon Hinton with 166 points is in P6. Anthony Caster is in seventh position with 163 points. And right on his fender, on his back fender, is Norm Snyder with position 862 points and not too far behind. John Bates 3 with 158. And rounding out the top 10 for the Cup Series in the Midwest Motorsports Racing is Andrew Miller, 28 with 105 points. Next race will be Michigan this Sunday. And don't forget, Xfinity Cups are off. They will be back the first weekend in December. Cup and Road Series are racing this week. To wrap up edition, Turkey of Cool Down Lap, which is the official podcast of the Midwest Racing League, and I'll let you know that we're live right now on Twitch at twitch.tv.greg. We'll immediately upload to YouTube as soon as we get off the air. We download the thing and take the audio out, send it over, and catch it on all the major podcast platforms, including Google, Amazon, Apple, and tune in, and early next year, we will also be on SiriusXM. Happy